on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph, and let's just review some of the things that we discussed, so we'll know where we're up to for today. We came to the conclusion that we're going to have to bring in the Bali Dinim for the verdict after we asked them to leave during the deliberations, and we gave a number of reasons why they shouldn't be there during the deliberations. As far as the Edom are concerned, we wanted to square with Rabbi Nassan, and Rabbi Nassan said, Shomin Dvarim Shel Zeh Hayom Ukshiyavu Chavera Lemachar Shomin Es Dvarim. So we can split between the two witnesses. So one witness will testify on Sunday, the other on Monday. And there's no din of tziruf hagada, no requirement that they testify together. And if that be the case, it doesn't make sense that the Mishnah would be saying that we bring the two Edim back again for a second Edus, I mean to reiterate their Edus, that each individually had... How you doing, Tom? Each individual had testified privately in front of the court. There's no need to have them testify together as a pair of Edim a second time around. Because again, as we said, according to Rav Nassan, there's no requirement of Tziruf Kat. Now, we had the Shita of the Tanakhama yesterday. Ein Eduso Mitzaref Esach Yerushneim Ke'echad. And we had Rabbi Yeshu Ben Korach Afilu Ro Bozecher Zeh. Ein Eduso Mitzkayivus Beznat She'idushneim Ke'echad. So basically, if we want to summarize, we have a double machlokas. There are two different machlokas going on here in this very same braisa. First of all, it's a machlokas where the two witnesses have to see the same action together, which means tziruf re'iyah. And that's going to be a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yishu ben Korcha. Whereas the Tanakhama holds Achiyiru Shneim Ke'echa, they both have to see the testimony together. Rabbi Yishu ben Korcha says no. They don't have to see the testimony together, and it's enough that they come to Beis Din to testify together. That means Tziruf HaGadah. So we don't need Tziruf Re'iyah, we need Tziruf HaGadah. That's one machlokas. Then we have another machlokas. Rabbi Nassan questions whether we need tziruf at all. And he's going to go as far as to say that they could come in to testify on two different days. So for sure we don't need tziruf hagadah. So in that sense he's against Rabbi Yishu ben Korcha, who says that ein edusim es kayim es achi yidu shneim ke'echad, they need tziruf hagadah. And for sure, Rabbi Nassan doesn't seem to require tziruf re'iyah. So you have three different shitas here. You have one machlokas is whether you need tziruf re'iyah. The second machlokas is whether you need tziruf hagadah. And our Mishnah, when it says that we bring back these people, and it didn't specify who these were, that pronoun that was unspecified, it's referring to the Bali Dinim. And this we said about the Niki Das Mishalayim, they wanted to make sure that the Bali Dinim were not there in the court present for the deliberations.
What's the third one?
The third...
You said there were three
Shitot?
Yeah.
Oh, so the first Shita is Tanakhama, second is Rabbi Shuv Ben Korcha, the third is Rabbi Nosson.
No, I mean, the first one is they have to see it together, hear it together. The second one is they have to appear in court together.
Right, and the third one is you don't need either. They can see it separately, and they could testify separately.
Okay,
that was Rabbi Nosson. Now, the Brisa says that we bring in the Edim to testify again. That Brisa is not Rabbi Nosson. Okay, now let's go back to the first machlokas. The first machlokes is between the Tanakhava and Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha. Do we need Tzir for Iyah? And the Gemara offers two approaches as to answer what they're arguing about. One approach is based on Svara, and the other is based on Krah. So let's go through this again inside. This is pretty much where we were holding yesterday, but let's make sure we're at the same spot. We're going to start with the words Ibais Ema Svara. So let's see if we can count up from the bottom. Ibais Ema Svara. It's approximately, I'd say, does it make sense, 12 lines up from the bottom of the daf, of the Omud?
Okay.
So the first words in the line, if you're counting up from the bottom, are Ibois Ema.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Yep.
And towards the end of that line, it says Ibois Ema Svara.
Mm-hmm.
So let's imagine the following. There was no Tziruf Re'iyah, and the Tanakhama is going to disqualify this because the Tanakhama requires Tziruf Re'iyah. What does that mean? There was no Tziruf Re'iyah; they didn't see it together. So let me throw out one possibility, which is incorrect, and then give you the correct possibility. The incorrect possibility would be that the two people saw the same halva on the same day in the same place, but they didn't see each other. They weren't aware one of the other. Like one saw it from one window, and the other saw it from a different window, up on top, if you follow what I mean. But they weren't aware of each other. That's not correct. No one, not even the Tanakhama, requires Tziruf Re'iyah in the extreme sense that they have to know about each other. They have to be aware of each other. That halacha is not irrelevant, but it's only relevant to dinei nefashos. So what we're going to see is that in a murder case, for example, the two edim, not only did they see the same murder, same time, same place, but they saw each other. And if in a murder case you have two witnesses from two different vantage points that saw the murder but they weren't aware of each other, that's unacceptable. But that's again only in dinei nefashos. We're not talking about dinei nefashos today. Our discussion is about dinei momonos, and in monetary law the two edim don't have to see each other, but then you have to ask yourself, do they have to see the same action? And let's talk about halva, that alone. Did they both witness the same halva? And here's where we get into the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. The Tanakhama says they have to have seen the same halva. That's what we call tziruf re'iyah with regard to dini momonos. They may not be aware of each other, but they both saw the same halva. They're testifying that Shimon borrowed 1,000 from Reuven on such and such a day, in such and such a place. And they both say the same story. They both have the same story. If they're both testifying about the same story, that's called Tziruf Re'iyah. They both saw the same story. Tziruf Re'iyah. And that's for sure kosher. But now, let's talk about a case where there was no Tziruf Re'iyah. And each one saw a different halva. Now, wait a second. If each one saw a different halva, how could Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha say that we put the two together? So first let's go through the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says the following. Amana de komasid hai, lo komasid hai. Amana de komasid hai, lo komasid hai. If each one of these two edim are testifying about a different, they saw a different halva. Let's say, for example, just give you names. Reuven saw halva on Sunday, and Shimon saw halva on Monday. Then they're talking about two different halvas, right? Two different manos. The mana is the amount of money that was given over as a loan, because the loan of Sunday is not the loan of Monday. So as far as Eidus is concerned, we need Eidus on Re'iyas HaMaisa. We don't have two Eidim who saw the same Maisa. And therefore, the Tanakhama says, logically, we cannot accept these two witnesses. Again, each witness is a witness unto himself, just as the Torah says you need two witnesses. That's the problem. If the Torah would have relied on one witness, then we would have Shimon paying Reuven twice, once for the Sunday loan and once for the Monday loan. But the Torah says you need two witnesses in order to force Shimon to pay anything out of pocket. And unfortunately, we have one witness who's testifying about the Alva that took place on Sunday. The other witness is testifying of a different Alva that took place on Monday. There's no tzira for Iyah. And therefore, the money, that sum of money of one aid is not the same sum of money of the other aid. So you don't have two witnesses testifying on the same mice, on the same Alva. V'idach. So what are we going to do with Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach? I mean, the logic here of the Tanakhama is pretty compelling. You don't have two witnesses on the same alva. Name. Amana bi'alma chavayikom esayi. They both are testifying on one mana. Again, it doesn't matter which mana, whether it's the mana of Sunday or the mana of Monday.
It's the same
mana. It means that, right, because it's the same Reuven and Shimon. So again, yesterday I gave a whole song and dance here that, you know, Shimon thought he could get away with 1,000 and make an investment, so he borrowed 1,000. Then he comes back Monday, he says, oh no, I see they want another 1,000. So he comes back to the same lender and he says, give me another 1,000. But one thing is clear. What is common, what is the lowest common denominator of both of these witnesses?
Not the money.
That Shimon owes 1,000 to Reuven. That's no question. Which 1,000? Does he owe 2,000? I don't know. Maybe he owes 2,000, but that we can't prove. But we can definitely prove, we definitely have two aidim that he owes 1,000. And that's called a mana v'alma chavayikom esayi. They both are testifying on one mana, meaning on that sum of money. Ibai say makra. Maybe the machlokas here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach is not about Svara, but rather about a Pasuk. How to darshan a Pasuk. Now, in order to appreciate where this Pasuk is, I really should have each and every one of us open up a Chumash. That's what we really should do, but we don't have time for that. So I'm going to just tell you that there's a parsha called Shvuas HaEdus in Vayikra Perek He. Just see if I can get my favorite magic mark. Is it here? Oh. So just jot this down, because again, this is going to be a very important. There's an entire perek in Masechet Shavuos, fourth perek, that's dedicated to this topic called Shavuas HaEdus. Shavuat HaEdut. Okay, I'm sorry if it didn't come out so clear, but hopefully you'll be able to make it out. So what is Shvuat HaEdus? That's really interesting. I don't know enough about secular law to answer this question, but I do know that I was brought up in an ethical where the society was based on mind your own business. Okay, but that's antithetical to the Torah philosophy. There's no such thing as mind your own business. If you saw a testimony, I don't know in secular law if there's any way the legal system could force you to testify. I don't know. But in Jewish law, it's amazing. Because number one, if you saw a testimony, you have a mitzvah d'oraisa, one of the 613 mitzvahs, to come and testify. Number two, if you don't testify, you violate a lotaseh, im lo yagiv v'nosa avonu, you'll be punished for that in heaven. And number three, this is really fascinating, the plaintiff, let's say, in the case of Alva, who has a monetary claim against someone, the basis of which he needs the evidence of the witnesses, he has a right to knock on the door of the witnesses, because he knows they were there and present at the time of Alva, and he could demand edus. But it's not just that. It doesn't just mean that he could demand testimony, because I know you know testimony, but he can addition be mashbia. Now that's a very interesting word. Mashbia. I don't know if you've taken any ulpan and you know Jewish Hebrew grammar, but there's something called hif'il. It's one of the seven grammatical forms. Hif'il means that I can impose something on you. I can cause you to do something. Like lahadlik, I cause the nair to go up in fire. And here lahashbia means I can cause, I can impose upon you a shvuah, an oath. Who am I and who are you? I am the toveah. I'm the litigant, we'll call him the plaintiff. and you are a witness, and I know you have testimony in your back pocket, I know you're hesitating and you don't want to come forward for various reasons, so I can be mashbia you. And that means I can impose a shvu on you. And I could say mashbiani aleichem. I'm going to say it in plural because there are two edim. So I impose an oath on you, shetavo v'ta'iduni, that you must come and testify on my behalf. And now they have two choices: either they come forward and testify, or they accept the shvuah. There's no third opportunity. There's no possibility of them rejecting the shvuah. If they don't come to testify, then by virtue of the power invested in the Tovea to impose the shvuah on them, they are considered part of the shvuah. What that means is that if we find out later that they had testimony and they didn't come forward to give that testimony, they have violated the shvuah. And there's an entire parasha in the Torah, they have to bring a karbon in the Beis HaMikdash called a karbon shvuah. Okay? A karbon shvuah. And that's for two witnesses that could have given testimony and did not do so, in event that the Toveh was mashbia them and they didn't come forward, they have to accept the shvuah. And if they, you know, again, it's not clear exactly how we know that they find at the final end. Maybe they did tshuva and they came forward and they say, yeah, we admit that we had Eidus and we didn't give it under certain circumstances, whatever that gives. For that, you have to learn it in Tai Perik and Shas, and they have to bring a carbon shvur.
So when the guy says, you'll have to be a witness for me, they accepted it, presumably. Otherwise, where's the shvur?
No, that mashbiani aleichem. That's the lashon shvuah. I impose the shvuah on you. Mashbia. That's what I call the hifil. You know, you have to. I don't know in other languages if there is such a thing that parallels hifil. I don't know, to cause you to do something. I don't know if that's a grammatical form in any other language. I don't know, but in Hebrew, that's what
obligate them. Yeah,
yeah. That if there's a grammatical structure in other languages to force something on you or cause you or something like that, I don't know. Maybe there is other languages. I don't know. So that's called the shvuas ha'edus. Correct, shvuas ha'edus. You have it here, shvuas ha'edus. Forget about that little line that was there before it. So this should be a dalet and a vav. You see that little thing? Can you just imagine it's not there? Shvuas ha'edus. Now, in Shvuas HaEdus, in that parashah, Vayikra Perek Hey, the Torah describes the situation in which the witnesses know and they didn't give testimony, and then they have to bring the korban. Now, it's very strange, because when the Torah says the witnesses knew and they didn't testify, it doesn't mention two witnesses, but it mentions one witness. And that's going to be the subject of our paragraph here that we're about to embark upon. What is going on over here? Now, in order to appreciate the problem of the singular use of the Torah of the who aid, you'll see that in the next two words on your Gemara, the who aid, that's a quote from the Torah, the who aid, which means he's one witness. We're in trouble here. Why are we in trouble if we take the Pshuto Shel Mikra, we interpret it as if there was only one aid? Because the Torah doesn't believe one aid. Now, in this relationship between the Tovea, we call him the plaintiff, and the aid, or the aidim, that relationship is such in which the Torah gives the right to the plaintiff to impose this shvua, this oath on the aidim, because the Edom have within their power the ability to give money to this person, meaning to take, if the court will hear the Edom, the court will take money out of Shimon's pocket and put it into Reuven's pocket. If that's the nature of the Edom, if the Edom is so powerful and so far-reaching that if the Edom testify, then Bezdin is going to give Reuven, the plaintiff, he's going to order X amount of dollars, then in such a case, the Torah gives the plaintiff the right to be mashpia. If, on the other hand, these so-called witnesses would not have the power and the authority, even if they came and gave their aidus, to win the case on behalf of we'll call it Reuven and Tovea, the plaintiff, then the whole parasha is off. The whole deal is off. There's no Shavuos Eidus. Shavuos Eidus is based on the fact that the Haggadah of these Eidim would award, if it passed all the tests and the investigation, would award the Tovea money. So his case stands or falls on the basis of this Eidim. In other words, the absence of the Eidim means his case will fall. The presence of the Eidim means if the Eidim did come forward, would mean he would stand. And stand meaning he would be Zakai, he would be able to collect money. And therefore, the word aid in the singular, one witness, is very problematic. How could it be that the Torah is going to say that he was a witness, he didn't give his testimony, and there was a shvua, now he has to bring a karbon because he didn't come forward and give his testimony? What do you mean? His testimony wouldn't have made a dent. So I'll give you an example. Let's say Moshe and Aaron saw the loan between us. And now I come over to Moshe and Aaron and I say, my friends, my rabbis, right? I need your testimony desperately because he's not going to pay me up until you testify. That would not be Shavuos Eidus. Why not?
Because they're
Krovim. Because they cannot testify in any event. Well, let's say I come to a woman or two women and I say, I need your testimony. Or I come to a melech. Imagine the king of Israel was present when we had this halvah, and now I say to the king, come in front of the bed, he's going to give testimony. And he looks me in the face like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, right? Well, there's no Shavuos Eidus because a melech is possibly Eidus. So again, everything's, you know, the whole parasha Shavuos Eidus means that if the Eidus would have been given and the testimony would have been presented to the Beis Din, then Beis Din based on that testimony would have awarded the litigant, the Tovea, the plaintiff, money, and now he lost money as a result of the fact that the Eidim did not come forward and give their testimony, and the Tovea exercised his rights to be Mashbia, to impose a shvu, an oath on these Eidim, because he knows full well that the Eidim know testimony, and the Eidim did not come forward. But why does the Torah use the word Vahu Eid? Let's read it inside, okay? This was just an introduction to what the Gemara is going to talk about. And by the way, the introduction I just gave you would be a wonderful introduction for the fourth parak of Shavuos. Next time you learn Masechta Shavuos, which is, you know, right here with the Sanhedrin and Shavuos, usually they go together. So, Dichsiv, it says in the Pasuk in Vayikra He, Vahu Eid, he is a witness. O ra'ah, o yada. Okay, so that has to be understood on its own. Why the Torah says either he saw or he knew. I mean, what's the difference between seeing and knowing? Okay, that's a sugya, but that's not for us right now. So the Baal Din was mashbia the Eidim to come and testify, but yet the Torah used the word aid in the singular. The aid, or let's call them Eidim, in fact, saw, or they know the testimony. And they took the shvua because, again, he imposed the shvua on them, like it or not, and they refused to come forward. They have to bring a korban. And that korban is called shvuas ha'edus, or shvuas ha'korban. So now the Gemara wants to prove that the word aid in this pasuk, which literally translates as witness, really means eidim, which means witnesses in the plural. That if the Baal Din, we'll call him the Tovea, Mr. Reuven, was Mashbia, one aid, one single witness, the aid will not be chayav for Shvua, because his aidus would not be mo'ilah, would not be meaningful enough to grant and award the money to the Tovea. So it's only when the aidus itself would grant the money to the Tovea, only then is there a Shvuas Karban. Vesanya, we learned in a Braisa. Now, this brisa is based on an analysis of a pasuk. I'm going to read for you the entire pasuk. And this pasuk is in Parsha Shoftim in Dvarim. It says, Lo yokum eid echad be'ish, one witness will not testify, but al pishnayim eidim, al pishlosha eidim yokum dovar. So we need two or three eidim. A whole discussion in Makkos, why the Torah had to add three eidim. But anyway, mimashma shenemar lo yokum eid. From the fact that it says in the Torah that one witness cannot testify, any odea shehu echad, do I assume that the word echad here in this context means literally one aid? But rather, ma tamid lomar echad? Why did the Torah have to say lo yakum eid echad? Is zebona av? This is going to teach us all over. Binyan av means a paradigm and a klal, a principle that applies to kol Torah kula. Kol makom shenemar eid. Whenever the Torah says eid, is areikan shnayim. Unbelievable. This is so counterintuitive that whenever the Torah uses the word eid, it means two witnesses. Unless the Torah adds another word, another description, echad, it says eid echad. So it says lo yakum eid echad beish. Why did the Torah have to add the word eid? It could have just said lo yakum echad beish, and we would know that we're talking about eidim, because the next part of the pasuk says al pishnayim eidim. We need two eidim. So why did he have to say lo yakum eid echad to tell you that the word eid, generally speaking, means shnayim, unless it says eid echad? So if you find a pasuk in the Chumash, which we're going to find in Vayikra Hey in the parasha Shuas Haedus, that it says vahu eid in the singular, you know that it's referring to two witnesses. Why? Because the Torah in the parasha of eidus, it says lo yakum eid echad. The eid echad means one eid, but the word eid itself, without the additional description of echad, that adjective echad, it means two eidim. And now we're going to go back to the parsha of Shavuos Ha'Eidus, and it says for who eid, and he was a witness. It doesn't say eid echad. So what does the word eid then mean if it doesn't say eid echad? Two witnesses. So it means that we're talking about two witnesses. So in the case of lo yakum eid echad, the Torah had to add the word echad, because the word eid itself would mean two witnesses, and then it wouldn't make any sense, lo yakum eid meaning two witnesses, because that's what we need two witnesses. Lo yakum means there's no validity to one eid, so therefore the Torah had to add the word echad to clarify that the eid is an eid echad. But otherwise, in Kol HaTorah Kula, the klal is going to be that whenever you see the word eid, it means two eid. But now we have a paradoxical question. Why did the Torah decide that the word eid, which literally means one witness, would really mean two witnesses? Why is the Torah deliberately confusing? You understand what I mean? If you were writing the Torah, you wouldn't want to confuse the audience and use the word eid to mean two witnesses. You would use the word eidim. No, the Torah wants to use the word eid to describe and define what are these two witnesses. It's telling us something about the nature of these two witnesses. They're really one. What does that mean, they're really one? You know, in marriage, in Jewish marriage, we have a philosophy, v'hayu l'basar echad, that ish v'ishto is kiguv echad. But what does it mean in terms of witnesses? L'meimar, this is coming to teach us. Afkei rachmona v'loshen chad, the Torah went out of its way to use a language of one, which is a singular form when it's referring to two. Why confuse me? And the answer is l'meimar, to teach me that shnei edim, who are included in the parsha of Shavuos Ha'Eidus, if they don't give the testimony, when are they included in that parsha? Ad, unless dechazu travayu kechad, that they both saw the testimony as one. Which means lafuki, to exclude the case where one aid saw it on Sunday and the other aid saw it on Monday. Well, logically you could combine them, because everybody here, the common denominator is that he owes them 1,000. But no, we need aid, one witness. What does that mean, one witness?
They do this.
We need one maisa. They saw one action, and together they're testifying on that one action. The fact that there was one maisa, that's called tsiruf re'iyah, and they both saw the same action, then we could call it echad. Then the Torah is justified by saying v'hu eid, that eid means one witness. Why are they one witness? What integrates them into from two into one is the fact that the maisa, the action, was seen by both of them. And if they both saw the same action, that's called tziruf. Everybody, tziruf? Really? Re'iyah. Right? Tziruf re'iyah. And that's the shita of the Tanakam v'idach. What does Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha do? The pasuk says v'hu eid, which implies that the two witnesses are like one eid. Osharo yada. So he says the following. that the words O Ra, O Yada are a ribui. So Vahu Eid is a mute, which means that they have to see it together. But then it says O Ra, O Yada, and that's called Mikol Makom, that we could always gather together and integrate these two witnesses, even if they didn't see the same Maisa, and they weren't Ke'echad. But nevertheless, we'll put together the two testimonies, the testimony of Reuven about Sunday, of Shimon about Monday, and we'll come to the conclusion that the defendant has to pay whatever that sum, that common sum, to both testimonies. So now we have a strange syntax here. The Torah went out of its way to use the word Eid, which means two witnesses that are like one, and then the Torah adds O Ra Yod as a ribu. You know, like you're familiar with the phrase Lo Mi Ukseif, Lo Mi Dufseif. You know, I don't need your bite, and I don't need your honey. You know, it's like, why do you have to confuse me by using Lashon Yachid and then add a ribu in order to tell me that you don't need a tzirif ri'iya? You don't need, like, it's one testimony on the same maisa. So the Masifta here on the bottom, he quotes a sefer called the Mishmeres Kahuna, and I don't know who the author is, but he says the following: Umashin nokat apostik v'loshin yachid, and the apostik uses deliberately a singular, which according to the Tanakhama makes a lot of sense to combine them and integrate them into one re'iyah. They both saw the same ma'isa, but now we're up to Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha. Wow. Very impressive piece of research. Listen up, guys. This is really the schmack, as we say. This is better than a good sholent on Shabbos. Whose bag am I kicking here under the table? Is this
No,
do me a favor, just move it away here, because otherwise, every time I kick it, I'm going to start thinking I'm bothering somebody. Here's the scenario: one witness to this halva already testified. Now the plaintiff is desperate because he needs a second witness. He knows that there's a second witness, and he approaches him, he accosts him, and he says, I need your testimony. So the guy plays dumb avad, as we say in Yiddish, like he's a dumbbell. Well, what? I don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't want to give aiders. So he's mashbia him. Here's a case, watch it, where the Torah says, who aid, he's only one single witness, and yet he's chayav a karban shvur. Why is he chayav a korban shvuah?
Because it will make a difference.
Exactly, because we already have one aid. So the plaintiff has one witness in his back pocket, and that's fine. That witness is great. He's a tzaddik. He's testifying. And now that everything hinges on the second witness, because there's no way that the toveh could achieve his goal without the second witness. So now everything is contingent on the second witness. He's like the case of two witnesses, because just like if I must be a two witnesses, my whole case stands or falls based on the two witnesses. Now I need that one witness desperately. So the Torah goes out of its way to say Vehu Eid, meaning he's only one Eid. And the Torah is saying that in this case, O Ra, O Yada, we don't need a Tzir for Ia. Why? Because it's very possible that the one aid that we already have, who's already registered in Beis Din, he may have testified on Alva that he saw on Sunday. And now the Malved knows that he doesn't have another aid for that Alva, but he has another aid who can testify on the Alva of Monday. So as far as getting at least $1,000 out of the defendant, he's desperate to get that second witness in. So on the one hand, the Torah used the word aid in singular, but not because the Torah wants to tell you that we need seer for ear, the way the Tanakhama sees it, that it's one, it's really two witnesses that are like one, because they saw the same mice. And no. These two witnesses saw two different mice and two different alvars on two different days. But the Torah used the word aid to tell you that there's a chiv karban shvua, even if the mashbia, even if they were only mashbia one aid, because we already have a witness for the alvav Sunday. Now we need the witness, the testimony for the alvav Monday, and that's o yada, unbelievable. So we have aid to teach me that there is a chi of karban shvua even in a mashbi of one aid, in the case where he already has another aid in his back pocket. And then Ora O Yada tells me that even though the second witness is not testifying on the same alva, there was no tzir for iya as the first witness, nevertheless, mikomakom, we could be mitzarif the two aidim. And as we said before, the lowest common denominator is that the lov has to pay at least one month. Okay, now we're up to machlokas number two, which is machlokas between Rabbi Shimon ben Karach and Rabbi Nosson. Right, until now we were focused on the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach and the Tanakama. Do we need Sira for Iya? And either it was a machlokas b'svara or it's a machlokas in Kra and had to understand the pasuk. Now we're up to the Seifa of the Brayso, so the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach and Rabbi Nosson, and that's a question of Tziruf Haggadah. So again, leave Tziruf Re'iya out. That's already been discussed. Now we're talking about Tziruf Haggadah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach says that Ein Eidusim is Kayemes Ad She'idu Shneim Ke'echad, that we need a Tziruf Haggadah. And by the way, it makes sense that since Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach rejected the requirement of Tziruf Re'iya, then he needs some sort of tziruv. So what's going to link these two witnesses together to form one unit, one kat, as we call it? It's going to be tziruv Haggadah, Haggadah. And Rabbi Nosson says, no, shomim dvarim shal zeh hayom, ukshiyav l'chaver l'mocher shomim dvarim. Do you hear what's going on, according to Rabbi Nosson? On Sunday, well, let's say there's no yeshiva's bezit on Sunday, but for that matter, let's say it was Monday, whatever day of the week it was. I know maybe they give off on Tu B'Shvat, I don't know. But they hear the testimony of one aid, and then tomorrow they're going to hear the testimony of another aid. And who's going to put them together to form a unit of two witnesses? What is the glue that connects the two witnesses together to make a kat of two witnesses? Bezdin. Right? Because there's no Tziruf Haggadah, because the Haggadah was on Sunday of one aid, the Haggadah of the second aid was on Monday. Bezdin is going to glue this together. Right? It's like you, let's say you had a calculator, right? So you punch in the number one, right? And then you punch in the number two, and then you plus equals, right? So the calculator will put together the one and the two. So in the Nimshal, the aid testifies on Sunday. Now we have registered one testimony. Now the second aid testifies on Monday. And we have another aid. And the Bez is like the calculator. They put 1 plus 1 equals 2, and they link together the two witnesses. That's the sheet of whom, everybody? Rabbi Nosson. You have it? Or you, in your language, maybe Rabbi Natan? I don't know how you, whichever you prefer. I mean, I'm pretty open-minded. I just, one of my best friends is Nosson, so I'm used to...
My father was Nosson, the second name. But anyhow, I understand both.
Yeah, so today your father would be Natan, you know, it wouldn't be Nosson. You know. If you said Nosson, they'd think you're some sort of, I don't know what, but anyway. So we have Rabbi Nosson. So now we have Zeh Ba Biyom. What is the lashon again? Shomim dvarav shel zeh hayom, v'shomim dvarav shel ukshiyav chaver l'mocher shomim dvarav shel zeh. So who does the tziruf according to Rabbi Nosson? Bezdin is going to do the tziruf. We can rely on Bezdin to combine the two testimonies together. Correct. Because according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach, is Ein Eidusim is Kayemes Ad She'idu Shneihem. Ad She'idu, what's the language of it? Ad She'idu Shneihem Ke'echad. Ke'echad. Right. And that's called Tziruf Haggadah. By the way, Keichot, I don't know if we can, you know, there's a principle called Trei Koli Lo Mishtamoi. We can't hear two voices at the same time. But what it means is Bazachar Zeh, but they testify what's called Toch Kedei Dibur, meaning the second testimony is immediately on the heels of the first testimony. And that's called Tziruf HaGadol. That's called Tziruf HaGadol. Yeah. One second, there's something that's bothering me. Just one second. It's interesting. Let me turn the clock back for just one moment to Rabbi Shmuel ben Karcha in the case of Tziruf Re'iyah. According to Rabbi Shmuel ben Karcha, we don't require Tziruf Re'iyah, correct? So that one aide saw the Alva on Sunday and the other aide saw Alva on Monday. So what makes them into a kat? So according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Karcha, we're going to have a tziruf haggadah. They testify together, albeit there was no tziruf re'iyah, but there's a tziruf haggadah. So one second, I'm just confused here. Is the testimony on the action? Because if the testimony on the action, how could you be mitzaref two witnesses that are testifying on two different actions? In other words, the alva took place on Sunday, and the alva took place on Monday, but we don't have two witnesses on any one of those two alvas. So you're left with one witness on what?
On Amana.
I meant to say Amana. What did I say?
You were saying on the day.
No, I'm just saying. Oh, so
they're testifying,
you give me an answer.
Right.
That what the testimony is not on. On the Maisa, but on the Mon.
Right, yeah.
Excellent. So why do I make a big deal about this? There's a Sugya Masechta Kiddushin that should be relevant to this. Let's say a man wants to marry a woman, and he sends a Shliach. Now, marriage is what's called a Davar She'Be'erev, and needs two witnesses. And the Gemara presents a debate about whether the shliach himself could be one of the two witnesses. According to one opinion, shliach nasa eid, and according to the other opinion, ein shliach nasa eid. Now you can analyze this psychologically if you'd like. You know, well, maybe since he's testifying, you know, and he's the shliach, you know, maybe he's not objective, blah blah blah. But I'm not going that way at all. So I'm just mentioning that to exclude that. The machlokas is conceptual. What is Eidus? Is Eidus on the Maisa? Or is Eidus on the Mana, as you call it, which means the result of the Maisa? Mm. If the Eidus is on the Maisa, then how could the Shliach testify when he did the Maisa? He gave the woman the Kiddushin or the get. You know, he actually delivered the money into our hands. So he's going to testify in his own action? The answer is Rabbi Shmuel ben Karcha. Because Rabbi Shmuel ben Karcha holds that the Eidus is not on the Maisa, but it's on the result of the Maisa. You have two people testifying on two different Maisa. One's talking about Alva on a Sunday, the other on a Monday. They're not testifying on the same Maisa, which is why the Tanakhama throws out the Eidus. But Rabbi Shua ben Levi is willing to accept the two Eidus because there's a common Eidus on the Totsas on Maisa, on the result of the Maisa, which you call the Mana. If that be the case, then Rabbi Shua ben Karcha would be a logical explanation for the Man Diomar who says in Kiddushin Shliach Nasei, because the Eidus is not on the Maisa. He's not testifying on the physical action, you know, that Reuven ben Shimon, I delivered this mana to the woman, and she said it's on the Kiddushin. Again, they have to testify on the Maisa because otherwise we don't have Eidus, but the halachic import or significance is on the Totsas HaMaisa. So the Gemara says the fan b'mayka mifugi, the second machlok is between Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Shmuel ben Karcha regarding Tziruf HaGadah. Do we require Tziruf HaGadah? Do we not? What are they arguing about? Imay seim a svari, imay seim a kra. I'll give you two options. So imay seim a svara. So let's cover the Gemara for a moment to make believe we won't know what's written in the Gemara.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, good. Please.
I'm following, but I'm lost in the Gemara itself.
Oh, okay. Where are we up to? Just
three lines.
Second.
Yeah, three lines from the bottom.
Three lines from the bottom.
Okay.
Or actually, it'd be better maybe four lines up from the bottom. You see, we're in the middle of the fourth line up from the bottom. It says, "But my come mifligi." See if you can find that.
Yeah. Okay.
So what I wanted to do with you for a minute, since I don't think we're pressured for time, right? Until 9:30, you're all here. I mean, so no one's running. Okay. So let's take a minute and try to think. Again, when you get to Ibai Sem Krah, there's no point of thinking. You can't come up with that on your own. But Ibai Sem Svara, let's see if we can come up with some sort of working definition here on our own. Do we need Sirif HaGadah? Let's just think. If we're going to say that Bezdin... I'll tell you what I would say. Again, I don't know what the Gemara is going to say, but maybe I do know, but I don't know. I would say the following. There is an entity in Halacha called Eid Echad B'dini Mominos. He's not believed, but he can be Mechayev Shvuah. So we should not come to the mistaken conclusion that one single witness in Dini Mominos is meaningless. I'm using a couple of negatives here, but the positive form of what I'm saying is that the Torah does give a certain element of credence or validity to one aid, even though it says Al-Pi Shnayim Eidim Yakum Dova. It's enough to at least give us an inkling of evidence in favor of the plaintiff in his claim against the defendant. And that inkling of evidence is going to express itself in a chiyuv shvua, which means that the defendant is going to have to take an oath to contradict the edus of one aid. Oh. So if that be the case, then which of these two approaches would make more sense to you logically? That we do need Sirif HaGadah or we don't need Sirif HaGadah? Again, everybody's holding now, we don't need Sirif Re'iyah, which means that Reuven is testifying about Alva that he saw on Sunday, Shimon on Monday. But now the question is, do we need Sirif HaGadah? If I tell you that the testimony of one witness is meaningful, then which of these two opinions makes more sense? We do need Sirif HaGadah, they have to testify together, or we don't?
Yeah.
I say we do.
Yeah. If there's one...
Again, we're talking about Reuven testifies on what he saw on Sunday. Shimon comes in to testify on what he saw on Monday. Do we need that the two witnesses come together as one? That's called Sirif HaGadah. Whose sheet is that? Rabbi Shimon ben Korach. Or do we say no? Each testimony stands on its own. Bezdin makes the calculation. And there's 1 + 1 = 2. Meaning we have two witnesses on at least, you know, that sum of money. You know, that's common to both the Halva of Sunday and the Halva of Monday.
I thought it was Rav Nason that said you had to come together to testify.
Correct.
And Yeshua ben... Korah said you don't. They can come separately. And they
correct.
Because you said that...
Oh, did I mess up? Yeah, I'm sorry if I messed up again.
That's what I heard.
Rabbi Yeshua ben Korah says that we need Siruf Kat. They both have to come in and testify at the same time, right? Talking to Dibur.
They do have to be at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, and he doesn't require Siruf Re'iyah. In that sense, he rejected the Tanakama. But he does insist on Siruf, not in the Re'iyah. They testify on two Alvas on two different days, but in the Haggadah.
Then what's Rav Nason?
And Rav Nason says you don't need Sirif at all. Not in Re'iyah, not in the Haggadah.
I mixed him. Okay. I mixed him up. Okay.
What do you say, Steve? Can you...
Is that right?
But if one can force the defendant to take a Shvua, then doesn't that mean you don't need Haggadah?
Oh, that's what I was afraid you would say, but and it's very logical what you're saying, but I want to say just the opposite. Why? Dafka, this is the paradox I want to suggest, and this is Rabbi Shuman Kocha. Dafka, because the aid has significance, I need Tziruf HaGadah. I'll tell you why. Because in the absence of Tziruf HaGadah, the aid would have a right to say, I came to be Mechayv Meshvur. In other words, my testimony as one single aid stands on its own two feet. You Bezdin, have no right to be Mitzaref the two. I'll tell you where Chaps and Afkamina, this is what's irking me in my back. Hazama. What would be if we were mazim these two Aiden? Two Aiden would say to the first aid, you with us in New York and not in Chicago. Two witnesses, or the same two witnesses, would say about the second aid on Monday, you with us on Monday in New York and not in Chicago. Would it be Hazama? Well, guess what? Each aid has the right to say, go fly a kite. I'm only one aid. I came for a shvua. And therefore, I'm not subject to Hazama. But the answer is, says Rabbi Shimon Kochi, you have no right to make that claim because of the Tziruf HaGadah. Once you agree to testify together as one, albeit on two different maisim, on two different days, you become one kat. And you can no longer claim, well, my testimony was on a shmur. I only came to Mechayev and a shmur. No, you came for Mama. And I'll prove it to you. It's demonstrable. Why? Because you came together with a Tziruf HaGadah. And Rav Nosson says, no, I don't need Tziruf HaGadah to let each aid testify on a Shavua, but in weight of evidence, we have the weight of two witnesses. And Beis Din will do. Now, what would Rav Nosson say about Hazama? That's going to be a fascinating question. If you ask me, again, just believe me, ultimately, there would be no possibility of Hazama in this case, which is impossible. That can't be tenable because we have a principle that Eidus Shiat Yochel HaSima is not an Eidus. But logically, I don't see Hazama as an option according to Rabbi Nosson. Because each Eid has the right to say, I testified alone for Shvua. You want to be Mechayev Mikash Hazama for Shvua? Okay, I'll take a Shvua. I'm just joking. All right, let's see what the Gemara says. I mean, that's Berzon. Ebay, same as Svar. Do we have the place? Savar, Mar Savar, according to one opinion, Ad, I'm sorry, Eid Echad Ki Asi, oh, maybe we can fit this in, let's see. Eid Echad Ki Asi, Lishvua Asi, Levamona Lo Asi. So the thrust and the significance of the Eid, the import of the Eid, this is for Shvua, not for Mammon, because Eid Echad is not believed to be Mechayev Mammon. So what that means now is that we don't have a chiyuv mamon with the eidus of one eid. So what are we going to do over here? Now the second eid comes in and on a different day, let's say. This I'm trying to give the argument of Rav Shuv ben Korcha, and he said, and he also is testifying on a shvua. Is therefore, you cannot be mitzaref the two witnesses and generate an eidus on mamon, because each eid unto himself is an eidus on a shvua. I think it's very similar to what we were saying. I'm not sure if it's exactly the same. And therefore, we need tziruf hagadah. It's only when you have tziruf hagadah, then we could say that each eid is testifying on a chiyuv mamon. V'idach, Rabbi Nosson, atu ki asu bahari adadi. What are you telling me? Let's say there's a Tziruf HaGadah. Is they came together, right? Bahari Adod means they came together. So Kiyosu means they came together. Bechad Pume Kom Masade? Did they testify from one mouth? You know, each one testified on his own, from his own mouth, right? I can't speak through your mouth. I'm not a ventriloquist, right? Is that means that each aid is only testifying on a Chiyuv Shvua? But the answer is Ela d'mitzarfin and lahu. We Bezdin will add together the two eidim, and 1 + 1 = 2. It's Hakanami. Let's do the same thing. If they testify on Sunday and Monday, l'sarfinu, we'll add them together. But again, this is not really a valid argument against Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha is going to say that if they came together to testify, then they become one kat. And the second, even though they're testifying from two different mouths, but it's Tolkidei Dibur, and that links them together as one kat, and that one kat is made up of two eidim with testifying on Mama. Masha'en Kain, if one comes in on Sunday and the other on Monday, Each one, if there's no tziruf, is testifying on a chiyuv shvuah, not on a chiyuv mamon. Whereas Rabbi Nosson takes the extreme view of litzarfinu. Litzarfinu means let Bezdin calculate. That's just, Bezdin has to just figure it all out. We have one aid testifying on this, another aid on that. We'll put it all together, mix it together, and we know that he's chayev mamon. Ibai seim akra. Another possibility is that they're arguing about a pasuk. The Torah says in Parsha Shavuos Eidus, I'll read the whole pasuk. It says, "Vahu eid o ra'ah o yada," and then it says, "Im lo yagid," if he does not come forward with his testimony, "V'nasa avono," he will carry the weight of his guilt, of his sin. So that means if the aid does not testify, then basically his shvuah is a shvuah sheker, and again we impose the shvuah on him, like it or not. It's then udekuliyama, we're on lamed omid beis, bein letanikavet bein lerabbi Nosson is kirabonon de pligi ale de rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. In other words, now the Gemara is offering the possibility. You know, I told you that according to Rabbi Nosson we don't need any tziruf kat at all. Now the Gemara is offering another suggestion, and that is that even Rabbi Nosson accepted the shita that we do need tziruf. He just argues that we don't need tziruf hagada. Is karabana de pligi alei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Everybody accepts the shita of the Chachamim. That means both Rabbi Nosson and the Tanakama hold that it's for who aid. You remember we asked the question why the Torah used this confusing singular when it's really two witnesses, and the answer was that we need re'iyah ke'echad, we need tzir for re'iyah, ke'chad, like one. V'hocha, so what's the machlokas about whether we need tzir for agada? Is ba'kushe agada l're'iyah ke'mifligi? Mar sova, the Tanakhama holds, makshinan agada l're'iyah, mar sova, Reb Nosson says, lo makshinan agada l're'iyah. Makshinan is the verb of hekesh, for the noun of hekesh. So do we have a hekesh? A hekesh means that we can equate. What do you say?
Comparison.
An equation, a comparison. So if we have a hekesh, then whatever rules apply to re'iyah, ipso facto, apply to hagadah. So the pasuk says, "V'hu eid o ra," and then it says, "Im lo yagid." So the first part of the pasuk says ra, he saw the witness, and then the other part of the pasuk says yagid hagadah. So from the fact that the Torah joins this together, it's coming to teach us, according to Tanakhama, that just like you need tziruf in re'iyah, you also need tziruf in agadah. Umar sover, but Rabbi Nosson holds, lo makshino. In other words, even if I agree with the Tanakhama that I need tziruf for re'iyah because the Torah says eid, which means kechad, but nevertheless, I don't need tziruf agadah. And let Bezdin be metzarif, the two agadahs. So Zeba b'hayom v'zeba machar, and that's fine. So according to this explanation, they're arguing about hekesh. Now I'm not sure why Rabbi Nosson rejects the hekesh. You know, now we're saying that even Rabbi Nosson agrees he needs tzir for ear because it says eid, which means eid echad. Well, the end of the pasuk says im lo yagid. So we have a hekesh in the pasuk between re'iyah and agadah. I mean, the chachamim here have the upper hand because the pasuk itself gives us this hekesh. So he says in the footnote here that Rabbi Nosson sover shemashmos ha-pasuk hi she'ein tzrichim lahayid ki'echad. That from the pasuk itself is an indication they don't have to testify together. Shemar im lo yagid v'nos avono. It sounds like he's coming in as a yachid, and if he doesn't testify as a yachid independently, then v'nos avono, he'll carry the weight of his sin, of his guilt. So that's why Reb Nosson insists that we don't have a hekesh between re'iyah, which requires tziruf, and agada, which doesn't require tziruf. Now let's just think about Rabbi Shimon Karcha. Rabbi Shimon Karcha sort of like overlaps both shitas to some extent. He's a compromise shita. Rabbi Shimon Karcha agrees with the Tanakhama that we need Siruf HaGadol. He agrees with Rabbi Nosson, we don't need Siruf. Ah, wait a minute. Now we're saying that everybody agrees you need Siruf Re'ir. I mean to say everybody, I mean both Rabbi Nosson and the Tanakhama required Siruf Re'ir. Rabbi Shuben Karcha says we don't need Siruf Re'ir, we need Siruf HaGadol. So basically, according to Tanakhama, we need both Siruf Re'ir and Siruf HaGadol. That's called Makshinon. Makshina Nagodol Re'ir, or Re'il Agodol, whatever the what is the language? Nagodol Re'ir. So therefore, just like in Re'ir, you need Siruf. Yeah. Comes along Rabbi Nosson, and he says, no, I don't require Siruf Agodol, I only require Siruf Re'ir. And now Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha holds, I don't require Siruf Re'ir, I require Siruf Agodol. So let's just analyze. According to Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, why do we need Siruf Agodol? So perhaps you could say the following, that you need Eidus on a Chiyuv Mamon, and if each one comes separately without a combined testimony, then you don't have a testimony on a Chiyuv Mamon, you only have a testimony on a Chiyuv Shvua. But as far as his drasha, the Tanakhama's drasha of aid in singular to teach you that you need Sir for Ear, Rabbi Shuben Karcha rejects that. And he thinks that the reason why the Torah mentions aid is to teach you that there's a shvuas carbon even against one aid, in event that the tovea has another aid in his back pocket. So we have now the following pyramid, in a sense. You know, like, I don't know if you call it a three musketeers here, a triangle. What we have is the shita of... We have the shita of... Rabbi Nosson, he requires Siruf Re'ir without Siruf HaGadol. Then you have the Shita of Rabbi Shuben ben Karcha, he requires Siruf HaGadol without Siruf Re'ir. And then you have the Shita of the Tanakhama, who requires Siruf in both Re'ir and HaGadol. Okay, then? That's what we have.
So the Tanakhama is both.
Tanakhama requires Siruf Re'ir and HaGadol. He requires Siruf Re'ir because that's how he interprets the word aid in singular, kechad. So they have to have seen the testimony together. Then he has a hekesh, because at the end of the pasuk it says imlo yagin between Re'ir and Agadah. So he requires Siruf not only in Re'ir but in Agadah. He's the most machmir, since he raises the bar on the requirement of Eidus. And then as far as the other two shittas of the Tanoim, one shita is going to say, I agree with you that we need Siruf Re'ir. I don't have the Hekesh Tagada, and that's going to be Rabbi Nosson. And the other Tana, which is Rabbi Shuben Karcha, he's going to say, well, I don't have any requirement of Siruf Re'ir. I need Siruf HaGadol because otherwise there's no Eidus on Achiv Mamon, they're only testifying on Achiv Shvuah. Okay then, that's what we have for today. And I wish you gentlemen a great day, and Steve, I'll wish you a great trip. So wait, I don't see you until Purim?
Well, I'll be here for another 2 hours.
Okay, I lost my orientation, you know, I'm so...
After Purim.